Hello and welcome to Art Witch, the podcast where creativity, magic, and healing align for personal and collective liberation. I'm your host, Zanetta, and welcome. Art Witch aims to provide resources for creative empowerment, helping folks make and share their art, and also find their authentic expression. In this podcast, you'll hear from a variety of artists, witches, and healers, as well as experts in various art industries and related fields, all with the intention of helping folks share their art and their unique magic with the world. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Art Witch Podcast. I am your host, Zanetta, and thank you so much for tuning in. It's a couple days after the new moon in Pisces, and I just want to check in. I want to check in with you all. In fact, this lunar cycle was so big, I felt like we were going to need a check-in. I thought midway, yes, let's check in on the podcast. Because at least on my end and in my circle of friends and family, it seemed like this particular lunar cycle had much to give. Much to give. So before we get into things, before we start to like gaze into the future and say what's possible, what's open, what's available, what's growing within me and what's being seeded at this time, or even what's being harvested, I want to take a moment to appreciate this last lunar cycle. I recognize when I say appreciate and when words like harvest or blessings or what came through, you know, gifts can have a really positive spin. And if you're not there with things, if you're not like, gosh, that was so wonderful, maybe perhaps you can see it even in how have I already experienced growth? What has already been growing, or what has come to fruition on some level? It could be knowing, it could be a change, it could be a healing, it could be so many things. So just take a moment with yourself to reflect from the last lunar cycle to basically March 10th, what came through. And if this brings up some larger cycle, some larger journey that has occurred, maybe think back to March 2023 and think about what kind of started back then and what is maybe coming full circle. What's coming full circle? What's had time to really ripen and ferment? For myself, this was a powerful lunar cycle, and the cards that had come through were very, very accurate for me. I found myself amazed at the very specific, unique, and surprising ways that each card presented itself this lunar cycle. So I'll give you some examples from my own experiences. So I had a lot of friends visit me this lunar cycle. You know, I moved out of the city and I moved a little further upstate. So I had a lot of friends and I made a lot of art with friends. It was a very Three of Pentacles lunar cycle. That is not to say that I don't make art with friends, but usually it's not this frequent, and it's usually around like some kind of collaborative project we're doing. This was way more casual, and it was fascinating. It was fascinating how powerful those art spells were, how powerful we were in our shared creativity and our shared joy and in our shared grief, you know, like that we were all working through things just by being together and drawing, painting, crafting, like whatever we felt like doing. Another card that we had come through was the Page of Pentacles in reverse. And I was wondering a lot about how this card would just surface in my life. And wow, it was pretty deep. That Page of Pentacles really came up as self-doubt often. It came up as old inner child hurts, old inner child stories, old struggles. So much of that stuff that, you know, maybe we don't necessarily think there's a direct link between our creative ambitions or creative, let's say, success even, and these kinds of really particular emotional hurts and things that seem from so long ago. But it's amazing what can be reclaimed, what can be remembered when the inner child is kind of looped in and feels loved and feels really, really supported. So inner child stuff was huge for me this lunar cycle. And, you know, it's like the key is the lock when we have these challenge cards, these cards in the challenge position, like the poison and the antidote, they're often one and the same, but it's like you kind of have to have some time to process things and figure it out. Well, in that kind of inner child hurting, there was also the inner child kind of magic and wisdom. And I kind of reclaimed some art forms that I used to do as a kid and totally had forgotten about in my, you know, adult journey and my adult art witch life. And I came back to them and whoa, they're so powerful. Like I started watercolor painting again, which I totally forgot that I used to love painting as a kid. And I just started doing it like more and more and more and more and more. And I've been feeling just like obsessed. So just that kind of reclamation within that challenge is so interesting to me. And one of my favorite parts about reading reversals and feeling into reversal energy. The other thing that kind of came through that was just, I think it had come through in the reading, but you know, it's like you're always surprised by how relevant the messages are and how they actually happen in real life. But one of these kind of art parties I had with a friend, we were doing this art project together, and it was very much a magical kind of working. We were intentionally doing some kind of art spell, but it was funny. I had no idea what the art spell was supposed to be about. And I just kind of like drew images and made images and didn't really like have a set intention. But what kind of happened through that process was I unintentionally created a road opener spell for myself. And I thought a little bit about how our cards at the end of that reading last month were Death and the Six of Swords in reverse. So what thresholds were crossed? What new beginnings were made possible? What portals have been opened because of community? What assistance and support came through to help you open something else up, move on, shed that skin, transform? So that's like some of what I felt from the last cycle. I hope like having a little bit of my own experiences maybe gives you some ideas about some of your own. Yeah, it was really, really powerful. And I think for many months from now, I'll be integrating a lot of what came through and working with it. It almost felt like a major arcana moment because it's like, oh, we can be working with this for a long time. So before we get into the new reading, I want to actually get into some announcements. First is a big thank you to everyone who booked Year Ahead readings. They are now closed. Wow, wow, wow. It's so cool to read for people year after year, to work magic with them, to dream and hope and, you know, create change, to bring change about. And these particular readings were really like half reading and half spell. So I feel very, very thrilled at how it all came down. And I hope that those of you who had the readings are feeling so empowered and ready for the next year ahead. I will be opening up just regular creativity tarot readings for this month, actually. So if you are looking to get a reading from me and there's some kind of block or disruption that you're feeling, or you just feel like you need some direction and support in finding direction, I am super, super excited. I've been working a lot with like elemental inspiration, a lot with like ideas around mediums. So if you're feeling a little lost on, you know, what kinds of mediums, materials to kind of explore and get into more, this is a great time to get into that. So I will leave a link down below so that you can get on my tarot reading list. And I usually just email people and let them know when my schedule is open, and I will be opening those up soon for April because March is already like running away. So the next announcement, and maybe the one that's like really, really huge for those of you who have been following me for a while, is that I am hosting my first one-day retreat in honor of Beltane. Yes. I have been celebrating the wheel of the year, the seasons, in my creative practice as a witch, as, you know, someone who's trying to find diasporic grounding on land that is not my ancestral homeland. And so much of my artwork is developing a very, very close, very, very loving and caring connection to land, to elements, to spirits, to rivers, to forests, to singing and to working ritual and taking loving action on behalf of non-human kin. And for years, I have been seeding these relationships through my art, through everything that I share publicly, through my close connections. And for a long time, I've wanted to bring people out with me into the woods to sing to the forest, to work ritual, to enjoy sonic splendor of the seasons, to really be in that process of honoring the land and honoring our bodies and making art magic with it all. But I really, to be honest, it just took many years to come to a point where I would even feel remotely solid to be able to do that. And now I'm at that point. So I'm taking a small group of people for a day of ritual magic and art making into the local forest where I work. And it's very, very calm. It's very safe. It's very accessible. I will say that it's not wheelchair accessible. I wish it were. But it's very, very light walking and doesn't require a lot of gear or anything like that to do, which is very important to me as someone who felt very barred by the way that wilderness was presented in American society. So I'm taking folks out with me into the woods. We are going to explore our connections to the land, elements, and spirits through our art and our magic. We're going to do ritual and offerings for the land and in celebration of Beltane. Now, Beltane is, it's bright fire. It's like one of the best holidays of the wheel of the year. I mean, they're all great. Every moment is sacred. Every moment is part of what makes other moments possible. Beltane, Samhain, like we need both in order to understand both. But Beltane is pleasure-filled, loving, sensuous. It's sexy. It's just, it's big, sexy energy. And it's shared energy. I think that's one of the things that makes it kind of a significant moment for me personally in the wheel of the year and transitioning out of winter, is that this is like when we bust out and get together with people again. The weather's good, the birds are singing, the light is bright and warm, and you can really feel it. And like There are flowers. There's tons of pollinators. It starts to feel real. The world is like waking up for realsies now. And it's an amazing time to go into the woods. It's such a rich time to go. It's before it gets too hot or too buggy. And it's a great time to field record, which is a lot of what I like to do when I'm out in the field, is record nature, record the sounds of these non-human kin and listen to them and feel the potency of their song. So I'm going to be taking folks out into the forest with me, and then we're going to come back. We're going to do some ritual magic. We're going to make some channeled art, and we're going to share food, seasonal food, which is like my fave. And yeah, it's just going to be a great day of community, of fire, of art, of outdoors, nature connection. If you feel at all called towards gathering and celebrating Beltane in this way, mark your calendars. It's May 5th, so it's a Sunday. It's going to be upstate. I am going to open up my own home to host this event. And it is small. It is a small, small group of people. It's like 7 people. I will have an info session around the spring equinox for those of you who are interested. So I'm going to leave a link and you can go ahead and email me if you would like to attend that info session. In the info session, I'm actually also going to just generally talk about the wheel of the year. I'm going to talk about the spring equinox, about Beltane, about my experiences around the wheel of the year, because I know for a lot of folks, they've heard of it. You see a lot of things online, you see, you know, general books on these topics, but it's personal, it's local. There's so much magic in developing a connection to these seasonal moments. So I'm going to have that free info session, and it's going to be a great time to just chat and learn about the wheel of the year if you're interested. Check out my email down below and email me if you want to attend and learn more about Beltane. And so with that, let's get into the reading, the creativity tarot reading for this lunar cycle. So our lunar cycle started with the new moon in Pisces on March 10th, so a couple days ago. And it is going to go all the way through the full moon, which is a south node lunar eclipse in Libra on March 25th. And then it ends right before the new moon, north node solar eclipse in Aries on April 8th. Okay. So there's a lot here. There's so much. And when there's so much, usually the focus becomes actually pretty simple. The focus becomes pretty simple. It's not about doing everything. It's not about being everything. And it's not about trying to be elaborate and be involved in the high drama. It's often about just simplicity, right? It's often about simplicity. There's a couple other things about this lunar cycle that should be mentioned. One is the spring equinox is a little earlier this year because of the leap year, so it's landing on March 19th. I personally like to celebrate it on the 21st because I just feel like it organizes my brain, but you know, that's what it is. And then we have Mercury is going basically in retrograde April 1st through April 24th. So a lot is shifting here. A lot is shifting. And when things are shifting, simplicity is a great practice in general. Simplicity is a really, really great practice in general. Some of what this brings up for me is an awareness of eclipse season basically starting. Eclipses have so much potential and potency that you don't need to really do anything. You really don't need to do anything. Things are already in the works. That's what they kind of feel like for me. It's like out of our hands. It's a good time to actually practice the dark embrace of the deep mystery. The eclipses are like a dark embrace. It is this relationship that we have with the great mystery that is on full display. It's taking center stage, so to speak. And it's not about doing. It's really not about doing. I think that's like a really big thing that we get to like receive this cycle. We don't have to do. We don't have to do. I find that so hard to release from. But consider how sometimes there are moments where things are already working. They're already going. The gears are turning. Gears that are larger than your life cycle. Things that are coming into being and are moving and are in motion. They happened generations before you. They're happening generations after you. Like, there's cycles of time and energies of time that we're working with that I think eclipses highlight how we can surrender and relax and just be. To be in the great mystery. To be not in control. To not try to control. To not try. Not activate. I know so many people are like, yeah, let's do a spell. Let's do a thing. Let's do a thing. I don't personally like tell people when or where to do the spells. And by the way, actually, that's another announcement I forgot. But on the Patreon for Art Witch, I am posting a pretty big video on spell casting and how my approach to spell casting, just as a love letter to spell casting. So if you want to see that, check it out on the Art Witch Patreon. But basically, like, I'm not going to tell you when or where not to do a spell, but I am going to say that when there are moments like an eclipse, it's a powerful moment to just contemplate where you exist in the larger forces, where you exist within the cosmos. How do you understand your life cycle within some greater sense of existence for so many other beings? Mountains, rivers, rain, water, and how it cycles, currents of air and how they move across lands and gather, storms building and storms dissolving, where we feel fire and light and sun and stars and planets. Like, eclipses bring us into remembering what we're held within and what we do not have power over. So that's one massive piece to this cycle that as art witches, we can kind of say, hey, you know that goal list? Hey, you know that list of tasks? Hey, you know all that stuff that I'm supposed to get done and that's supposed to be kind of steps to my dreams? Some of that may have to be kind of relaxed, softened, let go of, shed. Maybe it's like a good time not to strive so hard. So let's get into the cards because I'm already starting to like give you hints here. But the card that is our invitation for this lunar cycle, the ways that we can grow as art witches this cycle, is the Four of Wands. I love the Four of Wands. I love it. I feel this pollination energy. I feel this celebration energy. I feel sensual pleasure and immersing yourself in the delights of the world. I feel beauty. I feel beauty and I feel it shared. Like, when we share beauty, when we share art, how much richer is life? How much more beautiful is life? Last month, we talked about the idea of sharing food and the Three of Pentacles even. And yet the Four of Wands is like, there is a shared feeling that I have because it's like, yes, we can be a party of one celebrating, but golly, it's like something special to be seen in our radiance, to shine, to see others in their radiance, to feel the glow, the emanations, how you feel lifted in someone else's presence. This brings up something really interesting because we're talking about not striving. We're talking about like not really trying. And yet we're shining. We're in our beautiful essence and energy and celebrating ourselves. And what does that really mean? What does that really look like for us? I think some people have a really natural connection to doing this where they just can celebrate themselves. They do so regularly. They remember this often. They remind others of this. Some people are just so good at that. And I thank those people. I thank them deeply. But if this feels like something that isn't easy for you, like to celebrate yourself, to appreciate your art, appreciate how you are beautiful, how you emanate beauty, how you radiate love, then this is a good growing moment. This is a good moment, right? Rather than trying to be external and like show everyone that you're great and show everyone you're amazing, I almost want you to like gaze upon yourself, gaze upon your art, gaze upon your beauty, and really immerse in that. Celebrating yourself often can be how you appreciate beauty in general. Is it a beautiful body in motion and the fluid movements of limbs? Is it the smell of clementines and lavender and the taste of pomegranates and their tartiness? Is it the silky feeling of a certain cloth or fabric against your hands and against your skin? Is it the sound of the white-throated sparrow or the call of the wind in the trees? Where are your senses leading you to beauty? Where are your senses leading you to beauty? Where are you finding beauty? Where do you find yourself just gazing and feeling so much love? I want to know that this cycle. I want us to be in that this cycle. It reminds me a lot of how when we start to appreciate our own beauty, right? Like we see the beauty of others and we feel beautiful. And that's kind of its own spell. That's its own spell. Like you are the spell. You're the literal spell. And you don't have to change a thing about yourself. You don't have to be anything more than what you are. You don't have to be a better artist. You don't have to make different kinds of things. You don't have to do more things. You don't have to change anything about you. Who you are as you are is so uniquely beautiful and just so enriching to others. It reminds me a lot of pollinators and flowers. Every flower has this genius design of attracting the pollinators that are best for them. Just how they are in their unique and authentic essence, in their particular shape, their particular smell, their particular colors, their softness, their hardness, their length, their thinness, their fatness, their roundness, everything about them in their unique makeup is genius and designed to attract the perfect pairings. The perfect pairings. So like, let's think about this as humans. What if you didn't have to change a damn thing about yourself or your art, and you were just so in your essence, in your unique beauty, in your unique ways, in your unique existence, that was a spell of attraction for other beings to find your work, to celebrate it and to spread it fucking far and wide? What if you, just as you are a spell that attracts your ideal audience, your ideal connections, the people who need your work the most? Whether or not you put out a bunch of art, whether or not you make a certain type of project, whether or not you charge this much or don't charge this much, it doesn't matter. It's how you are authentically, and as authentic and true to yourself as you can be, is the clarity of your shine, the clarity of your shine. And we're celebrating this. We're sinking deeply into this lunar cycle from a few directions, from a few ways. One way is to appreciate things that truly are beautiful to you, to spend time in nature, to spend time with the scents, the sounds, the smells, the sights, the feels, anything that gives you that sense of love, that gives you that sense of beauty that is unique to what you are attracted to, right? It's unique to you. And I want you to celebrate and just enjoy and fill yourself up with that. Fill your cup up. Fill yourself up deeply with these things. And then try to be in your unique beauty. Be in your unique essence, similar to how you appreciate very specific things, very specific scents, sounds, smells, tastes, those specific things, those specific beings that you enjoy, like those specific flowers or plants. You are a flower. You are a plant, unique and unto yourself in the way that you are, your makeup, your form, your shape, your way of being. And I think a lot about that as artists. There's so much messaging that tells us we have to change. We have to be different. We have to strive. And this is where the challenge is going to come in this lunar cycle. We have the second card, which is the King of Swords. Oh my gosh. I think a lot about authority figures. I think a lot about people who we look up to or that we think are our ideals or people that we've learned from, people who seem like experts. These people are amazing and they're wonderful and they're themselves, but they're not you. And your path and who you attract and how you attract them is not going to be the way that they do it. So important to remember. It's hard. We get exposed to a myriad of people. It's just like a lot of information. And so the mind can start to see patterns. It can start to be like, oh, in order to reach this dream goal, I have to hit these milestones. And I'm just like here to lay down a very solid message. Every being has a unique group of people, group of pollinators, you know, that's going to be attracted to their work and be a part of that work. Every artist has their own audience and their own creative journey. Sometimes we have to do things, you know, that maybe stretch us or we're transforming. But if you're transforming because you think you have to be like someone else, that's usually a recipe for disaster. It's usually a recipe for disaster to try to mirror someone else's success. It's not a good idea. Instead, we're sinking so deeply into our essence. We're appreciating ourselves so much and our uniqueness that we are trusting in the spell of just being ourselves and being authentic. We're trusting in the spell of being ourselves and being authentic. That is one of the hardest things to do, is to just trust that you are enough and that you are as you need to be. But if you need a cue, go to the botanical garden, go check out a flower, go hang out with a tree, go hang out with the boulders. Be in the presence of those who their mere existence is so nurturing and generative and nourishing that you can't help but be healed by them. be in the presence of beings who are just alive and are doing their thing, and you are thankful as fuck for it. You are thankful for them being the way they are. And then I want you to take that idea and apply it to yourself. Being how you are, who you are, exactly as you are, is enough and will attract the right people to your art, to your creative offerings, to the work that you're going to do. Can we be in that? This is Aries season coming up, right? This is Aries season coming up. You are the spell. You are the spell. I'm going to say that like 500 times in this episode. I don't care. And that's coming from an Aries rising. Like, baby, you are the spell. And we are not distracted by hierarchy. We are not distracted by expertise. We are not distracted by striving. We are not distracted by trying to be something we aren't, thinking that we have to in order to be loved. No, 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 no. That's not what's going on here. We don't need to struggle. It's eclipse season. We don't need to do anything. We just need to be. We just need to be. So it's like, what if it's all about falling even more in love with yourself? What if the fact that you love yourself and you love how you are and you can appreciate your uniqueness radiates such powerful magic that people feel the spell cast in your presence, that people are drawn to you in that loving radiance? The card of action, I almost feel like I don't need to say it. It's kind of funny. I'm like, you don't need to say it. But the card that's going to help us and the card that we can really connect to this cycle is the Queen of Cups. I would just encourage you to be so present in your senses, be so present in your body. I mean, people say it constantly, but like, do not take it for granted, please. Don't tune out. This like very basic thing is the thing. Sensual pleasures, feeling that in your being fully, allowing yourself to be transformed by another being's beauty and the pleasure that it brings up in you, is a strong anchor and reminder that you do the same for others. You do the same for others in your authentic, lived way, your truth, basically, your way of being in the world. Some really specific ways that you could also cultivate this falling in love with yourself is gaze into the mirror, free paint, do like an energetic self-portrait. I've been doing a lot of those lately and they're fucking awesome. It's basically like, you know, you have no plan as to how you're going to paint something or draw something, but you know that you have a general outline of your body. It doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be detailed. And then you just start free drawing or free painting what you sense in your being. And it's just like this way of appreciating yourself. Appreciating yourself. I think another way to do this is to be around people who love you and support you and to have quality time being loved on. I realize that's not accessible for everyone. It might not even be accessible this cycle, but it's something to call forth and to say, please help me receive this. Because we can't see our own radiance. Only others can, right? Only others can. So you can appreciate your friends. You can appreciate other people that you think are just so wonderful and uniquely wonderful in their way of existing and their presence. And you can also cultivate a friend group and cultivate kind of connections with people who see the same in you and affirm that for you. Maybe you need to hear that. Maybe you need to, you know, say like, hey friend, what is it that you like about me? What is it that you think is so great about me? For the longest time, honestly, I found that to be kind of hard to imagine. And I am someone who struggles a lot with like compliments and praise and things like that. Like it's very, very hard for me. But we have to do that because like with this four energy, with the four of wands and this kind of like celebration, it's a bedrock. It's a sort of foundation that we need. It's a necessary foundational piece in the creative journey ahead. A lot of times people try to build beautiful and amazing projects, powerful projects, but with not a lot of secure love and self-appreciation intact. And shortly after, they feel like they've burnt out, or they feel resentful, or they don't feel like they're appreciated, or they feel like it's not a fair exchange, or that something about this is way harder than they thought it would be. And I think some of that is a lot of people try to proceed on creative goals without the foundation of self-love and appreciation. As artists, we have to prioritize self, because everything gets created through this one body, through this one heart, this one mind, this one channel. Everything that you're going to make is going to come through self. Everything you're going to make is going to come through self. If you can't really believe in that self and the power of that self, it's really a long road to get to the end, to get to the 10. To get from ace to 10, that's going to be a damn long road to get a project or an idea out into the world, to birth something and see it through. So we have to spend, maybe it seems like an out of proportion amount of time for ourselves, but it is the basics. The Queen of Cups is washing their face. They are putting on their favorite moisturizer. They are drinking the water. They are taking care of themselves. You're a channel, honey. You're a channel. You're not a machine, right? That's like a previous episode, but you're a channel. Treat yourself like one. And I don't mean like in this perfectionist way. I mean, what feels good? What's sensually pleasing to you? What's sensuous? You deserve to feel good in your being. And I think when we invest in ourselves, it shows. It really, really shows. When we are nourished, we will flourish. And people feel that in our presence. They feel it. They're drawn to it. They want to feel like they're thriving too. If you are over depleted, overdone, you know, you don't got something to give. You got to relax. You got to like take care of yourself. So the four's got a lot of care in it. It's got a lot of foundational care. It's got a lot of self-focus too. And you're going to have to sit with yourself and see how you feel about focusing on your care, focusing on loving yourself, focusing on feeling joy and sensual pleasure in your life. Do you feel like you deserve it? Do you feel like you need to have permission for it? Do you feel like it's okay? Do you feel squeamish about it? Why? Where'd that come from? You can go down that road and like try to figure out some of the stories, figure out some of the history you might personally have with this. But it's also enough to just say, I see it and I want different for myself. And to say, I'm going to focus on me. I'm going to focus on caring for myself, giving myself everything that I don't think I maybe deserve. And I'm not talking about just consuming things, right? Though for some of us, that may be true. You may need to buy some stuff. I don't know. I'm not sitting here giving you like a one-on-one reading. But you're going to have to sit with yourself and see like where you feel like you need nourishment, where you deserve to get some extra TLC, some extra attention. If we're the spell, how are we taking care of ourselves? How are we feeding ourselves? Both literally food and, you know, whatever, spiritually. Something that I hear a lot from various artists is that they haven't gone and like fed themselves in a long time. And what I mean by that is not food, but creatively. They haven't done things that were just for themselves. Oh my God, I hear this from so many clients. They are so depleted because they haven't read a book for themselves. They haven't made art just for the simple joy of it and for themselves that no one else gets to see. They haven't taken themselves on a museum date. They haven't spent time in the woods in forever, even though that's what they love most in life. Why are we always the last? That's a big question. The queens in general know that self is first, but that takes care of everyone. Like self is who is going to show up, right? So self needs to be first. Self needs to be taken care of first. You need to fill your cup up first. Once you can do that, you can give so much. It's healing. In fact, sometimes it's not just about like what you can give, like what you can do, but just that you exist as this person who's given priority to themselves, that is healing to just even be in your presence as a well person. Think of all the freaking unwell people in the world. If even just a fraction of them took care of themselves and felt like they were worthy of caring for themselves and prioritizing their joy and their pleasure, you think they'd be wreaking havoc on everyone as much? No! Caring for yourself is so darn important. And it's one of the things that I think is so easy to overlook as artists. If it helps to kind of organize this in your mind, I don't really ever practice magic, do any kind of spell, do any ritual or ceremony when I'm tired. As a witch, I'm like, everything has to come through me. I'm going to have to cast that spell. I'm going to have to, you know, work with energy. I can't just do that on an empty stomach or without any sleep. I find it very difficult personally to do magical working when I'm bone tired and exhausted. And I make it a general rule not to do any divinatory exploration or any kind of spell work when I'm tired. I try my very, very best not to do that because I think I have to honor myself first in order to work with those sacred relationships that I have to the elements, to the land, to spirits, to ancestors. I don't want to show up raggedy. And I don't want them to show up raggedy either. I want others to take care of themselves too. So I've got to show that in my actions. And so as artists, we are showing what love and what care and what beauty look like simply by just taking care of ourselves, not even by the art that we make. So yeah, Aries season's going to bring a massive amount of self-focus. And depending on how you feel about that, it could be really lovely and like a nice vacation from striving, or it could feel like pulling teeth and mega uncomfortable. It could be mega uncomfortable for those of you who feel like You got to do. I know many of us are of a liberatory mindset and the world needs us right now. We are watching genocide. We are watching climate crisis. We are watching all sorts of fuckery. But we do not need a bunch of raggedy people showing up. A long time ago, I got a message from a pine tree. One day I was walking by a pine tree, and the message was, each one of us has to be aware of our energetic drain or potential for drain. The more tired and exhausted we make ourselves and allow ourselves to get as humans, the more resources and the more drain we have on other beings, the more impact we have on this earth, and the more harm we have by being so depleted. And it's so important for us to be taking care of ourselves, to be really focusing on taking care of ourselves, because it's actually keeping things in balance with the land, with our ancestors, with other beings. How often do you have to call upon support when you're suffering? A lot, right? I need this, I need that, I need help, I need da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And yes, some of that's very circumstantial and out of our hands, totally. But some of it is within our ability to shift the way that we live our lives. To say, no, I don't need to work this much. It's draining me and it's draining everything that I'm connected to. So self-love, I honestly don't like how that's just been so prolific that it no longer has the same shine. It's become so tarnished by consumerism. But yes, self-love, self-care, these things are the basis of everything that you create, everything that comes through your channel. So how can you re-nourish yourself? Give yourself what you need. Give yourself extra rest. Give yourself naps. Give yourself moving meditations. If you're not one to rest, if you're not one to sleep as much, maybe you need activities that still give you that kind of spacious feel, that relaxed feel. Swing in a hammock, go and walk outside, watch water and let your mind just relax. Listen to bird song, feel your body, feel your breath. Let yourself just create for yourself. Don't even think about making things for other people necessarily if you can help it. Not all of us are in that position. Even myself in this lunar cycle will have to plan and we'll have to create for things that are coming up. But the way that I plan on balancing this for myself is to just know that my energy is a priority. My self-care is a priority. And I also am going to spend a lot of time doing things that feel really, really good to me. I'm going to paint a lot. I'm going to hang out by the river. I'm going to meditate by the mountain. I'm just going to like record some birds. The birds are coming out a lot. I'm so excited about them. Like, these are the things that fill me up. What fills you up? If you don't know, then start making a list. That's a good place to start. Four of Wands here. Make a list of things that feel so joyful to you. And see if any one of those things are things you could do with friends. See if any one of those things are things that you could do to feel the joy of being alive, right? And then trust. Trust in the spell of your happy, healthy existence. So just to recap here, we have the Four of Wands as our invitation for growth this lunar cycle. We have the King of Swords as our challenge. And then we have the Queen of Cups as our action, our way forward, basically. What can we do to really grow this cycle? So just as a summary for all of this, we are the spell. Just by being, just by our unique and beautiful existence. And we are sinking deeply into that. We're sinking in through self-care and self-love. We're appreciating the beauty of the world and the senses. We are letting ourselves be replenished through beauty and things that we truly love and enjoy. And we are also surrounding ourselves with people and with friends and in situations where we can receive celebration and appreciation. People that say, you are amazing, you are beautiful, you are wonderful, you are so magical, you're so creative. We want to be around people who have that belief in you and your magic and your art. We are surrounding ourselves with good folks. Because this is our foundation. And we're letting go of some of those beliefs about how our journey is supposed to unfold, what our path looks like. We are not trying to walk someone else's path. We are not trying to be a different person. We're not asking the flowers to be other flowers. We're saying, no, you in your unique essence is perfect. And recognizing that for ourselves, we are perfect just as we are. And we are not trying to be striving to be different, not getting distracted by, oh, I need to do this. I need to be this. I need to become this. I need to be better. I need to be smarter. I need to be more skilled. Done with that. Mm-mm. And instead, we are prioritizing ourselves. We're taking care of our channel. We are focusing on loving ourselves. Loving ourselves, loving ourselves, loving ourselves. And that does not require being any different, but more what we allow ourselves to receive more of. Are you allowing yourself to receive beauty? Are you giving yourself the time and space to do the activities and have the experiences that feel nourishing to you? Okay. I hope this was helpful for you this lunar cycle. I hope that you can find a way to celebrate yourself, to appreciate your uniqueness, maybe to even see how being yourself and being your unique way has already translated into people finding your work, people supporting you, the ways that you're currently thriving because you are your unique self. No shame, no feelings of having to be different, no feelings of having to change. Just like you as you are, how is that already bringing the right folks to you? How is that like pollinators to flowers? Spend some time in the presence of flowers this cycle. Spend some time in the presence of flowers. They are geniuses. Spend time in their presence. Note their beautiful and unique ways of existing. Learn about their life cycles and their processes. Who actually pollinates that flower? There are different kinds of pollinators. It's not just every bee. It's not just every spider. It's not just every insect that comes along. Not every butterfly. They're so specific, these relationships between the pollinators and the flowers. And that connection, that specific connection, it comes from authenticity. And so imagine a future for yourself, or maybe you have it now. Maybe you're celebrating that now, that you, as you've been true to yourself, have attracted the right people who are receiving so much splendor from your work. Okay, so just a reminder, if you want to celebrate Beltane with me and you want to come to the one-day retreat here in upstate New York, or if you just want to attend the info session where I'm going to jam out hard on the Wheel of the Year, Spring Equinox, and Beltane, I'm going to be sharing all sorts of info in that info session. So that's going to be on the Spring Equinox. I'll link my email down below and you can email me if you'd like to be a part of that and to learn more about the retreat. But I hope you all have an amazing lunar cycle. I hope these eclipses are rich, healing, and transformative in the ways that you need them to be. So let it be, and so it is. Take care, everyone. If you enjoyed today's episode of Art Witch, please consider subscribing or writing a review. Each and every little bit helps spread the word to more and more people.